we're talking again about what does God want from me? And I'll be there again tonight at 7 and again tomorrow morning in our final session. So I'll give you just a moment to locate it. And let me get my notes organized here. And we'll be ready. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, do you have it? All right. Now we're kind of spread out just a little bit, aren't we? Are we okay with that or should we move in? We're good? All right, he says we're good, so we'll stay right there. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. When you see a therefore, to know what it's there for, what do you have to do? You have to look before. All right, try that again. When you see a therefore, to know what it's there for, you have to look before. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now let's just stop and review. You know, Ephesians has two parts. There's doctrine, the first three chapters, and then there's practice. If you want a little seminary, a little advanced theology, they would tell you in seminary that the first three chapters are orthodoxy. That's what we believe. And the second three chapters are orthopraxy. That's what we're to do because of what we believe. And so he lays out here for us. The first part is that he wants us to know that he's called us to walk worthy of the vocation. He's saved us. He has a plan for our life. And that's where I got my question. Well, what does God want from me? So he's called me to walk, but what does he want from me? Oh, by the way, I got to show you. I got a good picture up there. Doesn't that look nice? Check that out. Give me an aw. Come on. Aw. And there's my family. Y'all want to see Gracie? Gracie's my golden retriever. She died this summer, but she is almost 14 years old. But there's Gracie. Aw. Now that's sad because I put that picture up and y'all went, oh. And I put this picture up and y'all go, oh, that's really sad. There's a bigger shot. And she is a beautiful dog, wasn't she? And she was my jogging partner and my prayer partner. And I talked to her about all kinds of stuff, probably about some of you. And she is a good dog, but she had kidney failure this summer. And so she's no longer with us. What does God want from me? Now look in chapter 4, verse 17. Let's just review this a little bit because now he's going to explain. Chapter 4, verse 17 through 24 explains what he's talking about in chapter 4, verse 1 when he says, I therefore, this verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Say it with me. Don't walk that way. Say it with me. Don't walk that way. Say it to your neighbor. Hey, don't walk that way. All right. And then he says here in verse 17, don't walk that way. And here's why. Because they walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now, how many of you are saved? Let me see your hand. You're on your way to heaven. This is what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to walk that way. That's how the world walks. That's how the world lives. That's how the world acts. That's what the world does. God does not want you to live that way. Smile at your neighbor and say it to them. God does not want you to live that way. Tell them. Smile at your neighbor and say, he has something better for you than that. All right, and here's what he says in verse 21. If so be that you've heard him, Jesus, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Get that wrong stuff out of your life. Don't live that way. That's corrupt. That's not right. In verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The question of this afternoon is, what does God want from me? And the last night was part one of this first truth, and today is part two. And what we want to know is that God wants me to be saved. I'm not going to park there any longer than that. Just, it is part of God's call in our lives. I don't want to take for granted that you're saved, but we're at the prayer advance. You don't go to heaven because you are a good person or go to a Christian school or turn over a new leaf or clean up your life. The only way you can be saved is through Jesus. He died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. And it's trusting Jesus. It's believing on Jesus. It's turning to Jesus. It's putting your faith, your dependence, your trust in Jesus. God wants you to be saved. Do y'all know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? For by grace, help me out. For by, are you saved through? And that not of? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you go to heaven by grace. That's what God does for you. You can't save yourself. He makes that abundantly clear, doesn't he? It's not something you do. It's something Jesus does for you. And the only time Jesus will do it for you is if by faith you'll turn to him. You trust him. The word faith is a noun, and the verb form is the word believe. And it doesn't mean believe in the sense of, I know. I believe in dogs. I like dogs. I know about them. No, doesn't mean. The idea is I depend, I trust, I rely on. So I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. But if I will trust on what Jesus did, he died, he was buried, he was raised from the dead. If I'll depend on him, if I'll turn to him, look to him, trust him, rely on that, then what Jesus did can be applied to my life and my sins will be forgiven and God will give to me eternal life. That's what it means to be saved. God wants you to be saved, all right? But the second thing we're learning is God wants you to have victory. God wants you to have victory. And last night, we learned three areas. You remember them? He wants you to have victory over, do you remember? Dishonesty or lying. The other one was God wants you to have victory over what? Anger. And what was the last one? God wants you to have victory over your tongue. Now today, I just want to say to you, in Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, that God wants you to have victory over your, look at the screen and say it out loud, your issues. Now, this is great. I like that statement. Because y'all know you got issues. That's the truth. Smile at the person beside you, and if it's a guy, say, hey, dude. Come on. If it's a guy, say, hey, dude. If it's a girl, say, hey, sister. And then say to them, and mean this with all of your heart, say to them, you got issues. Now, how many of you know that to be true? Raise your hand, good night. You know that to be true? How many of you know somebody that you would say, oh, my soul, they got issues? How many of y'all know somebody like that? How many of you know somebody and you would say, oh, my word, she is such a blonde? I'm not talking about hair color. I'm talking about brain color. Not hair color, brain. Y'all know somebody like that? They got issues. How many of you know somebody and you would say, oh my word, he's such a sissy. You know anybody like that? Or you might say, oh my word, she is brutal. How many of y'all know somebody like that? Some girl, I mean, she's just brutal. How many of you know some guy's a bully? Somebody's just a bully. He is a bully. You know anybody like that? How many of you know a guy? How many of you know a guy? And my mother would say this, he thinks he's God's gift to women. How many of y'all? Any of y'all know? Anybody know the issue? Anybody got some issues there? My grandpa's that way. My grandpa will be 93 on his birthday, and he lives in California. And I went to the mall with him one day. I went and picked him up. We went to the mall, and we ate at Red Robin. Yum. And we ate at Red Robin, and then we went for a walk in the mall, and I was talking to my grandpa. He's like 90. He's 90. Okay, he's 90 years old. He's an old man. Okay, he's old. He's 90. And we're walking through the mall, and he had cowboy boots on, And we're going up this little ramp. There was a section of the mall where you had to go up steps on the side or a ramp in the middle. And the ramp went up and had kind of a left turn and then up again. And you were on the next level of the mall. And as we're going up the ramp, this lady was coming down. And she's just being kind. She smiled at us as she walked by. She smiled. She just smiled. And my grandpa goes, did you see that girl checking me out? Are you kidding me? You're 90. She wasn't checking you out. She was feeling sorry for you. Or maybe she was checking me out. I hadn't thought about that. Wicked woman. All right. Now, so God wants us to have victory over our issues, yours and mine. And so here's what the Bible does here. He's going to talk about a ton of issues, and I'm just going to throw a bunch of them at you, and we'll be about 30 minutes, and our time will be gone. All right? Here's a ton of issues. Are you ready? Here's the first one. What's your issues? The question. What's yours? Now, God is telling us, in Ephesians, in fact, I didn't read the text. I've got to read the text. Verse 31, 32. Read it with me. Here's what the Bible says. You follow along. Let all bitterness, all, say the word all. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all, say the word all. With all malice and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I suppose we ought to say, that's the first issue we ought to talk about. We already hit this morning, so I'll be on it briefly. Our brother preached on this already. But boy, isn't that an issue in many of our lives? Bitterness. What an issue. It's a huge issue. And the Bible says right here, we're to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, get it out of your life. Bitterness will ruin you. Think of it like this. Here's the whole list of issues. Bitterness is the word acid or poison. We get our English word poison, acid, from the Greek word for bitterness. Wrath is fierceness or breathing hard. How many of y'all know what that one's like? You ever seen somebody that wrath, you can tell they got that issue of wrath because they're breathing hard? You don't hear that? How many of y'all seen your mom do that? You ever seen your mom do that? I've had it with you. How many of your mom ever say to your dad, your children? Has your mom ever said to your dad, your children? If my wife says to me, your kids, then I know it's a big deal. Breathing hard. Anger is violent passion or vengeance. How many of you know somebody that put their fist through a wall? I was in a revival recently and I preached hard on anger. And man, I really nailed it. I preached really hard on anger. And after the service, this guy came up and he shook my hand. And he reached out to shake my hand, but he did the wrong hand. He did his left hand. And, you know, I started to shake hands with him. It's the wrong hand. Yes, that's awkward, isn't it? Because you shake hands backwards. And so he put his, and I, it, so it's just awkward. You know, so I actually kind of weirdly shook his hand. I mean, how do you shake the hand backwards? It just didn't fit. And then he goes, he pulls his right hand out, and it's like twice the size of his other hand. And it's all purple. And I said, dude, what happened to you? He said, anger. He said, it's a concrete wall and it won. And I guess he just wailed it. I mean, he got mad at somebody and just boom, the concrete wall and it won. The concrete wall is still standing. That's anger, violent passion. Clamor is outcrying or tumult. Some of you may have a home that has a lot of these issues in it, and there's a lot of loud crying. Mom and dad fuss at each other loudly, and the kids are always at each other. The Bible says that's an issue that ought not to be a part of your life if you're saved. Evil speaking is railing against. You're so stupid. That's so dumb. What's wrong with you for crying out loud? You're an idiot. That's evil speaking. And then he does this. This is the most interesting verse. He says, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. And then he says, with all malice. And the word malice means wickedness. And here's the idea. Paul says, you got to take care of your issues. Because God wants you to have victory. God wants you to have victory. So deal with your issues like bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Oh, by the way, whatever else your issue is, deal with that too. If this is not your problem, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, he throws in malice because that word just means wickedness. Whatever your issue is, God wants you to have victory over your issue. That's God's plan for you. So let's talk briefly about this bitterness for just a moment. Bitterness is acid poison. In essence, it's blame. God, why would you do that? God, why would you do that to me? God, why did you let that happen? God, why didn't you answer that prayer? God, why did this happen? Why? It's blame. So I don't know if I'm bitter or not. Well, think through your life. Is there any area of your life where you're full of blame? God, why? Why would my parents be that way? Why'd you let that happen to my dad or my grandmother? Or why'd you let my friend do that to me? Blame is an indication that you're bitter because that's its essence. It's blame. In experience, it's a bad taste. What's the worst taste you ever had in your mouth? Now, we could probably give all kinds of answers, couldn't we? Have you ever chewed up a multivitamin? I dare you to try it. Go home, get yourself a multivitamin, and chew it up. And see how long you can hold the chewed up fragments in your mouth. It's a bad taste. Oh, my word, it's terrible. When my parents, when I was younger, my parents got this brilliant idea that we should take multivitamins. And I think they were kind of new on the market. They'd just come out. And back in those days, they were like this long. And they were ridiculously huge. And I couldn't swallow them. No matter how hard I tried, I could not swallow the dumb vitamin. And so my parents made me chew it. Every day I had to chew one. We did it for like 6 months. To this day, if I open a bottle of multivitamins and get the whiff, it makes my stomach do that little, just a little part of me just gags. It's a bad taste. What's the worst taste you ever had in your mouth? Somebody says, Brussels sprouts. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Unless you burn them. You burn them, they're not too bad. If you don't burn them, they're terrible. How many of y'all with me on that? I'd rather eat something burnt than eat Brussels sprouts. Come on, talk to me. Are y'all with me? It's a bad taste. You got any bad taste in your life? That's bitterness. Just every time it comes, it's a bad taste. It's bitterness. You know what the Bible's telling us here? This is an issue we got to deal with. Our brother talked to us about it this morning, but how are you doing with this issue? Somebody hurt you, some death or some problem or some issue or something in the past, and it's just eating at you. I'm telling you, God doesn't want that to rule your life. God wants you to have victory over bitterness. Are y'all with me? That's God's plan for your life, that you have victory over bitterness. And let's move on there. How about this one right here? Here's an issue. You ready for it? Here's an issue. Insecurity. Now there's an issue. Anybody here battle with that one? Insecurity? God wants us to have victory over that. Look at chapter 5, would you? Look at chapter 5 at verses 1 and 2. Drop all the way down there now, and here's what he says. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know what these verses are telling us right here? Those verses are saying several things, but one of the things they're trying to say to us is, did you know you're important to God? Did you know you're important to God? You're important to God. He cares about you. Why do we battle these insecurities? Oh my goodness, I'm not big enough, tall enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not, and we got all these insecurities. God doesn't want that to cripple your life. He wants you to have victory over that. If I just had her hair, if I just had his body, if I just had bigger muscles, not everybody can look this good. Somebody just can't. What is a joke? Some of you are still asleep. Insecurities. You're a dear child to God. You're a dear child. He loves you. He doesn't want you to be defeated by insecurities. And look what he did for you in verse 2. He said he loved you. He loved us and he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. For some of you, it's insecurity. God doesn't want your insecurities to defeat you. He wants you to have victory over that. Insecurities come from all kinds of things. Sometimes it's an experience. Something happened and now we're all insecure about what happened. So it's just personality. How many of you are aware that personalities vary? How many of you are aware of that, are you? Do you have anybody in your, how many have somebody in your youth group? And they are just nuts. I mean, they are just nuts. They're like, they vibrate with energy. How many of y'all have somebody like that in your youth group, do you? Their personality would be different than others. How many have somebody in your youth group and they like don't have a personality, like have a personality of a throw rug, all right? How many have somebody like that? And see, we're all different, aren't we? See, God made us that way. We're all different. Some people are in the middle. How many of y'all know somebody, and this is how you would describe them? They are just so nice. They are just so nice. How many of y'all know somebody like that? If you're from the South, you'd say nice. They're just so nice. That's these two guys were standing outside one day. Did you ever hear this? These two guys were standing outside one day, and they were looking at a car, and one said to his other, they're from West Virginia, and one said to us, that's a nice car right there. And that's where we get NASCAR. That's where it came from. He said, that's a NASCAR, isn't it? Yeah, that's a NASCAR right there. That's where it came from. Now, how many of y'all know somebody they're just really nice. They're just nice. How many of you know somebody and they just tell it like it is? I mean, they would just tell you flat out, you are wrong. Or they'll say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. How many of y'all somebody like that? See, we all have personalities, but you know with every personality, there's a strength and a weakness. Every personality has a strength. And every personality has a weakness. And the weakness side of our personality is often where we get insecurities. Oh my goodness, what do they think about me? Some of you, it's the fear of man. Oh, you're insecure. What will they think about me? Some of you, you don't care. I don't care what they think about me. I just don't care. Because we're different personalities. But all of us have insecurities. All of us do. But God doesn't want your insecurities to defeat you. He loves you. You're his dear child. He knows everything about you and he's on your side and he cares. He's okay with your insecurity. He knows about it and he loves you in spite of it. Are y'all with me on that? We gotta deal. God wants you to have victory. He wants you to have victory, to put off that old man and put on the new man. And don't be crippled by bitterness or anger or your tongue or dishonesty or insecurity. That's to say, he doesn't want that for you. Here's another one. You want another one? Bitterness, insecurity. How about envy or resentment? Why do you suppose the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2 to walk in love? And walk in love. Why do you suppose the Bible says that?
and walk in love. Because we have this propensity to be envious and resentful of others. Here's what Jesus says. Don't you know that I love you? That's verse 1. I love you. You're my dear child. Follow me because I love you and I care about you and I'm on your side. That's verse 1. Then in verse 2 he says, look, walk in love and do it the way Jesus loves. In other words, don't be destroyed by envy or resentment. How many of y'all know somebody that's better looking than you are? Come on. Some of you didn't raise your hand. You're lying to me. Let's try that again. How many know somebody that's better looking than you are? Well, then why do you resent them? God loves them and he loves you. You're to walk in love. What you're to say is, man, isn't that great? She's so good looking. She has beautiful hair. She has beautiful hair. Guys don't think that way, do they? Guys don't go like, man, he has beautiful hair, doesn't he? Because that would be really weird. Come on, wouldn't that be really weird? He has beautiful hair. And if you have beautiful hair, you should change it. Okay? So, guys aren't that way. Guys just don't do that. But sometimes guys will be like, man, he's so athletic. And I wish I were a better ball player. I wish. The Bible says don't live that way. Walk in love. Don't let envy or resentment be a stronghold in your life. You're a dear child of God and he loves you. Don't compare yourself to others. You'll always find that there's somebody better looking than you every time. There's always somebody better looking than you. Can I give you a little piece of encouragement? There's always somebody uglier than you. Say amen right there. That's the truth, isn't it? See, don't do that. God knows all about us. You say, yeah, but you know, in our generation, we're so focused on image. Oh my word, she's got perfect hair and the perfect body and the perfect weight. And I'm overweight. How much do you weigh? 93 pounds. That's dumb, isn't it? That's just dumb. That is just dumb. Say it. That's just dumb. But isn't that how we live? Because we're envious and resentful. And what the Bible says here is don't walk in love. You just serve God. You're his dear child. He cares about you. He loves you. Don't live this kind of life for crying out loud. God wants you to have victory over this kind of stuff. Don't envy others. Don't resent them. So what if he's a better ball player than you are? Celebrate it. Say, isn't that great? Man, that guy can play ball. Say, oh my word, she has beautiful hair. If it's snowing outside, her hair is perfect. And if it's 127% humidity, her hair is still perfect. Just celebrate it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? God gave her perfect hair. Just see, rejoice in it. Walk in love. Stop this stupidity of comparing ourselves with each other. God wants you to have victory over that. God didn't call me to be Harold Vaughn. Thank you, dear Lord. Because I like facial hair. And I told Brother Harold, he said, if I grew a beard, I'd look like Santa Claus. I said, then grow one, everybody likes Santa Claus. Isn't that right? And I'm being stupid about that. But the truth of the matter is, God didn't call me to be Brother Harold. I can't be Brother Harold Vaughn. I can't be that. I just got to be me. I can't be you. You can't be me. I can't be as good looking as somebody else. And I don't play ball as well as others play ball. I can't preach as well as others preach. I can just be me. I can serve God. I don't have to be full of envy or resentment. Have victory over these issues. Let the Spirit of God take the Word of God and work in your life and help you to overcome them. God wants you to have victory. You ready for another one? I want to shout out. You get ready for another one? Here's another one. Envy or resentment. How about laziness? Look at chapter 5 and verse 14. I'm skipping the verses I'm going to preach from tonight, but go all the way to chapter 5 and verse 14. Look what he says. Wherefore he saith, awake, awake, chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee life. Wake up! Wake up. Now this is not exactly the idea of the verse, but I was just thinking about different issues that it seems like Paul's addressing here. And I thought, you know what? In a sense, there's some laziness he's addressing right there. Isn't that an issue in some of your lives? You're asleep. Here's what you've done this summer. Nothing. You've had a whole summer at home, school's out. What'd you do? Played video games. It's great. It's fun. It was also without value. There's a place to relax. Jesus tells us in his word, the Bible tells us that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. So it's not wrong to have fun. It's not wrong. We live near the beach. We live near the Gulf of Mexico, so we go to the beach.
swim, snorkel. We go boating sometimes and go, you know, get out in the tube in the back of the boat and be jerked around the lake. It's not wrong to enjoy life. But you know, a lot of us are just plain lazy. That's our issue. The reason you don't have devotions is because you're lazy. The reason you don't pray is because you're just lazy. You've had a whole summer off from school and you haven't memorized one verse. Because you're lazy. That's your issue. You didn't make your bed. That's not the end of the, it's not the end of the world if a guy doesn't make his bed. But you know, I've found out a lot of times the little things determine about the big things too. Sometimes when I'm just all casual and just barely surviving, I just float along. I'm just lazy. I don't, you know, I'll do the dishes if mom makes me, but I don't like it, so I just halfway do it because I'm lazy. Most of you kids this summer didn't do anything unless your parents made you. It's time you grow up. Get over these issues. That's not how a Christian is to live. Wake up! Awake thou that sleepest, the Bible says. There's a spiritual point to that verse, but I think there's a practical point. Wake up! Make up your mind. I'm not going to let the issue of laziness destroy me spiritually, and I'm not going to let it destroy me in other ways as well. School's starting in a few days. You know what I believe if you're a Christian? I believe you can make A's and you settle for C's. God's not pleased with that. If you can make B's, but you settle for D's, God's not pleased with that. You ought to serve the Lord. Don't be lazy. Some of you say, my mom and dad treat me like I'm a kid. Wonder why? My mom and dad treat me like I'm a kid. Wonder why? Could it be that that's how you act? The only time you clean up your room is if they make you. Only time you make your bed is if mom fusses at you hard enough. She has to make you do the laundry. Just to make you put your clothes away. How old are you? 3? No, you're 13. Do you know a 13-year-old could say, you know what? It's my bedroom, and mom and dad let me live here, and I'm going to take good care of it. So I'll make my bed and pick up my dirty laundry and put my clothes away and organize my life. And when there's dishes to be done after the meal, I'll say, Mom, thank you for the meal. And I'll get up and I'll clean the dishes and I'll dry them and put them away without being told. Try that when you go home. Just try it. See, just clean your room. Now, if your mom has a heart attack, have your phone ready. Call 911. You don't want her to die over it. See, I'm just laziness. What an issue in so many of our lives. Laziness. He says, awake, wake up. You that are asleep, wake up. Am I making sense or not? I got a few more. Can I give you a few more? And here's another one. Laziness and wasted time. Oh, my word. Isn't this great that you stayed in here to hear these? Because look what he says in verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. I'm in chapter 5, verse 15. But as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. You know what he's addressing right here? Wasted time. He says, look, you don't have forever. Can I let you a little secret? You will not always be young. Do you know you're going to grow up? Did your parents ever say that? Would you just grow up? Well, the fact of the matter is, you will. Because someday you're going to be old. You're going to get older. And you're going to get old. That's the truth. How many of you have seen pictures of your dad when he was your age? He was so skinny, wasn't he? What happened? He got older. How many of your dad doesn't have hair? He's like, a little bit up here. Just a little bit. Sorry, brother. Just a little bit. But you do have a beard. You redeemed it. Amen. Now I'm being a little silly here. But what are you doing with your time? He says you're to redeem the time. You live in a world that's falling apart. You got kids on your neighbor. You got kids in your neighborhood. You got kids on the street. This world is falling apart. And we're wasting time. There's nothing wrong with playing a video game. But if you spend 10 hours on a video game and don't remember the last time you tried to win somebody to Jesus, something's wrong. You're wasting time. If you watch TV every day, man, every day I watch television, but I don't read my Bible occasionally. You are wasting time. It's not wrong to watch TV. It is wrong to waste time. It is. It's convicting to us adults, isn't it? Because these are some issues that we face in our generation, wasted time.
Yeah, I'm just 13. I don't have anything else to do. Mow the yard. Some of you guys, you struggle with your thought life. Struggle. Run a marathon. Run 26 miles. That will help you. 26.2, technically. It's a marathon. So I can't do that. Why not? Take you a year. All I got to do is go home this week and every day run 1 mile. Just run 1 mile every day this week. Next week, run a mile and a half. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, run a mile and a half. Next week, run 2 miles. Week after that, run 2.5 miles. Week after that, run 3. And just keep doing it. My son Matthew, a few years ago, I said to him, you know what, you and I need to do something together. Here's what we'll do. We'll start running together. And I didn't think that through because he's 6'2", and I'm not. And so, like, for every step he takes, it takes me 2. So we ran one time, and I said, this is dumb. Run on your own. And so he fell in love with it, and he built up. One day he said, I ran 7 miles. I ran 7 miles a day. And then one day he said, I ran 10 miles a day. And then one day he said, I'm going to see if I can get 14. He ran 14 miles, and got him signed up for a half marathon in Pensacola. And he ran a half marathon, and he was number 3 in his age group, placed 3rd. And just a little trade, a little effort. Now, I'm not saying you have to run. I'm just giving an illustration. Why are we wasting time when there's so many things you can invest your life in? My sons have been working on our neighbor kid. She's a granddaughter of our neighbor across the street, and her daddy's in the military, and he's been deployed, and so her mom's moved home to be with her parents, and she's finishing a degree while dad's away. And so Michaela has kind of been hanging around our house. She's 14, isn't she, Jake? 14? And so Michaela's, you know, just a teenager, and she doesn't know how to dress. She wears shorts way too short, and sometimes her tops don't cover enough, but she doesn't know any better. She's like he says here in the text. She just doesn't know any better. A few weeks ago, Matthew, he'll be out, you know, shooting hoops or whatever, and she'll come out and play basketball or something in the street. So he'd been talking to her a little bit, and so he invited her to go to church with us, and she did. I was preaching a prayer conference in Pensacola, and she went with me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. Tuesday night after the service, she said to Matthew, your dad talked about this getting saved. What in the world is that? What does he mean, get saved? So Matthew sat in the back of the auditorium. I watched him do it and talked to her about getting saved, what that means. And then every night in our family devotions, we'd pray for her. Several times the kids say, let's pray for Michaela. We'd pray for Michaela. And then she went to church with us a few times at our home church, which is also in Pensacola. It's a different church. She went to church with us. And I was grilling the other day. And well, actually in the afternoon, Matthew came to the house and he got a couple of brochures from our church, tracts that have the gospel verses on the back of it, just a one flip side postcard kind of thing. And he gave them to her and said, you know, these are the verses that explain how to be saved. Well, she went back to her house, grandparents' house, and she got out her Bible and she looked up all these verses in that Bible and she read them and thought about them and she's reading them. She's looking them over. She actually made a prayer list. She's been praying. She heard me preach on prayer. She made a prayer list, started praying. Now she has some verses on how to be saved. And she has a journal. She's been taking notes. She comes to church, she's been taking notes in her journal and drawing pictures. And taking notes, drawing pictures. And so I was out grilling that afternoon. Matthew had given her the verses in the afternoon. That evening I was grilling. And I was sitting in a lawn chair, you know, timing the chicken, how long it's got to stay on this side and flip it over that side. And she came down the street. She had been in a neighbor's swimming. She had on shorts and a tank top. And she came and she said, Pastor Dave, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. So she came walking down the driveway, and she came right in front of where I was, and she put her towel. She had a towel. She put her towel on the concrete, and she sat down like this on the concrete. She just sat down like this. And she said, I got a question for you. She said, I went and looked up all the verses that Matthew gave me today about being saved. I know what the verses say. I just don't know how to do it. So I took her through the gospel. Sat there, chickens burning, and I took her through the gospel. And I said, you know, Michaela, you could go back to your bedroom right now, right over there across the street, and ask Jesus to get on your knees. Ask Jesus to be your Savior, your God. He'll be it. He'll wash away your sins. That's what he did for you on the cross. You could do that. Think about it. Do it. Think about it. When you're ready, you can do it. You can walk across the street, knock on our door, and say, I'm ready to get saved. Will you pray with me? I said, you could do it right now. All of a sudden,
Big tears began falling down her face. She said, right now? Because that's what I want to do right now. You know why Michaela's on her way to heaven right now? Because a teenager invested some time in her. You tell me, what's going to matter the most when life is all said and done? Whether or not you defeated the latest whatever game, or you impacted somebody's life so they can know about Jesus. These are issues. We got to overcome them. Wasted time. Here's a couple more, and let's close. Lack of wisdom. Look at verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise. How many of you have ever had somebody say this to you? What were you thinking? How many of you ever heard that? You ever heard that? What were you thinking? How many of you ever heard this one? As somebody said to you, that was a dumb thing to do. We used to, when our kids were younger, we used to say to our kids, we'd say, hey, do a wisdom check. Do a wisdom check. Hello? That's not very wise what you're doing. Stop and think. You know what the Bible says right here? This is an issue in a lot of people's lives, not just teenagers. A lack of wisdom. But the Bible says right here, don't you be unwise. God has a plan. God has a will. God wants to direct you. Lack of wisdom is a massive issue in many of our lives. How about this one? Music. He says this in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How many of you would say that the music on your iPod, your iPad, your MP3 player, your smartphone is psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord? Or would it be worldly music? Is your music the issue of your life? Does it edify you, build you, encourage you? When you listen to your music, does it make you go soul winning, make you want to serve the Lord, make you love the Lord, make you have joy? Micah and I were in a service one time, Brother Self, and this older preacher was preaching, and he said he was talking to this teenager. And I think if I remember correctly, Brother Micah, he said she told him that she was just down all the time, wasn't she? And she was sad, and things were just so bad. I'm just sad all the time. And she said, this little preacher, I don't know why. And he said, well, you know, what kind of music you listen to? And, you know, come to find out, the music she listens to is always down and sad and miserable, and things are just bothering her. You know, that's the truth for all of us. A lot of you kids, the music on your MP3 player, your iPod, your smartphone is the issue in your life. It's not helping you love God. It's not helping you serve the Lord. That's an issue. God wants you to have victory over that, not to be destroyed by it. I was at a camp. I had a young man go with me to a camp in Moldova. That's in Europe. The poorest country in Europe is Moldova. And we were there preaching in this camp, and he and I were sharing this room together. He was a teenager, and he had wanted to go on a mission trip with Dave Young. So I took him with me. And one day I walked in there. He was behind me. We were going back to the room, and we walked into our room on this campground, and His MP3 player was on the bed. He had, you know, one of those square ones. I don't know what they call them, iPod Touch or something. And so I just picked it up. And I'll never forget when I did. I picked it up. We're at a Christian camp. His dad is a pastor. And I picked it up, and he was like, oh, wait. He said, that's not a good idea. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you don't want to look at that. I was like, now I do. Now y'all know what I mean. Yeah, now I do. In fact, I'm going to. And I started to hit the power button. Then I thought, no, I'm not going to. I just tossed it back on the bed. And I said, I'll look at it tomorrow. And I just went on. Never brought it up again. Later that day, he'd gone for a walk and he came back in and he handed me his MP3 player. You can look at it now. I said, how many songs did you delete? Are you ready for this? 3,000. That's a lot of music, isn't it? I want to ask you a question. How many would you have to delete? If you were to look at your music and say, God, am I honoring you, please? And I don't make a huge deal about music. I think music's wonderful and fun, and we ought to enjoy it, and I'm for that. But when my music is dishonoring to righteousness and holiness and purity, and my music is leading me down a wrong path and giving me the wrong kind of friends, then I'm just telling you, that is an issue in my life that I need victory over. You with me?
How many of y'all can see that? Can you all see that? All right, I think I got two more. Can you handle two more? Can you handle two more? All right, here's two more issues. Lack of gratitude. Because here's what he says. Here's what he says in verse 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you say, I don't have an issue with that. I am a very thankful person. And my mom and dad would say so. I am a very thankful person. And my brother and sister would say so. How thankful are you? He says we're to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A lack of gratitude is an issue in our lives. God wants you to have victory over that. This is an easy one to have victory over. You know why? Stop complaining, stop fussing, stop griping, stop quarreling, and start saying things like this. Hey, Mom, thank you for that meal. That was amazing. Hey, Daddy, thank you. Hey, thank you for the clothes I wear. Thank you. Thank you for the house I live in. Thank you for the bed I sleep in. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Hey, thank you for that. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being so nice. Thank you, Pastor, for that message. Thank you, youth pastor, for teaching us in Sunday school. Thank you, youth pastor's wife, for spending a few moments. Thank you for praying for me. Say it. Overcome that issue in your life. And there's one more. Look at chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3, and I'm done. Chapter 6. Look at chapter 6, and what do you suppose the issue is in chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, here's another issue. Here's another issue. Lack of obedience and honor. Is that an issue in your life? Say, Dave, you don't know my mom and dad. Well, can I tell you something? I don't. And I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry if your parents are jerks. I do a lot of family conferences, and one of the things I've noticed, young people, is that sometimes parents can be a hero at church and a zero at home. I've seen it. I've even known preachers that were eagles in the pulpits and buzzards at home. I'm sorry if your family's that way. Do you know the answer to it on your part? Is to obey and honor. Just obey. With all that lies within, you obey. The Bible says God will bless you if you do. That's a big issue in a lot of teenagers' life. Lack of honor. I don't know that you have to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to your daddy. Yes, sir, daddy. Yes, ma'am, mom. Yes, ma'am. That's just respect. That's honor. Well, we don't always do it. Sometimes I'll ask the boys to stand when their mom comes to the table to sit down for a meal. Hey, let's stand. I want to seat you. I always seat my wife. I always honor her. I don't always make the kids stand, but sometimes I do. Just to remind us that we're to honor. We stand. I always seat my wife, get her chair, slide it in for her. Because I want to honor my wife, and I want my kids to honor their mom. My son's in here, and he would tell you a few weeks ago we had a family meeting. You ever have a family business meeting? We had a family meeting, and I said, kids, I got to tell you, I've let something go. You guys have been just a little careless about honoring your mom. And it's going to stop right now. You guys are getting older, and I'd hate to have to spank you. But I will, if I have to. I tell my son, Matthew, he's the taller one here. I say to him, I can take you, buddy. He says, no, you can't. I can outrun you. I always say, you got to sleep sometime. I will tie you to the bed. I will win. I will fight dirty. I'm daddy. Daddies can do that. Now I'm being a little dumb here, but you know, honor is important. Hey, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Simple. What's your issue? God, what do you want from me? You know what God says? I want you to have victory. I don't want you to be tied up with all these issues and be defeated and discouraged and waste your teen years. I want you to have victory. That's what God's word says. That's what God says. Wants from you. Have I made sense today? All right, nobody ever does. Nobody ever does. How many of you would say, Dave, one of those issues, at least one of them, that's an issue in my life. Come on, how many of you say that's true in your life? All right, here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to confess that. He wants you to take steps to overcome it. That's what he says it in our text. He says, look, put off the old man. Get that issue out of your life and put on the new man. And here's how you do it. In your mind. You do it in your mind. You get the Bible. You memorize verses. You say to the Spirit of God, speak to me. Help me to understand your word and apply it to my life. You know what God will do in your life? He will take your issues if you'll let the word of God and the Spirit of God, and you'll take right steps. God will take your issues and give you victory over those issues, and he'll change your life. And you'll be glad he did. Because you know what? You live in such a messed up, ridiculously messed up and crazy world. You look at me. You look at me. I'm almost done. You live in such a messed up, crazy, ridiculous world. Did you know that if you'll overcome those kind of issues, you will be one in a million? You'll just be a success just by nature of overcoming issues. You'll be amazed. People want you to work for them because there'll be almost nobody with that kind of victory in their life. The boss will want you to be advanced, to give you a raise, because nobody in coming generations is going to live that kind of life. But you can be one of them. And not only will you have spiritual favor and blessing, you'll have God's favor and blessing in everyday living. But you've got to overcome your issues. God, what do you want from me? God wants me to be saved, and God wants me to have victory. Okay? Take a moment and pray. Just bow your head and say, Spirit of God, help me to overcome my issues. Maybe it's laziness. Just say, God, you got to help me to take some right steps. Maybe it's bitterness. Cleanse me from that, Lord. Just ask the Spirit of God to give you some victory. We'll just pray a moment, and then Brother Stephen's going to come and he'll dismiss us. Father, help us to be real honest about our issues. Help me to be honest about mine. Help us, dear Lord, to examine our lives right now and not to go home to walk the way the world walks. Help us to take some steps and to renew our mind and to let the Spirit of God fill us and give us wisdom and discernment and help, so that we can defeat these issues that damage us and hurt us. They hold us back. They keep us from being everything we ought to be. God, help my young friends in this room. Help them have victory. Help them have joy and peace. And God, maybe there's an area that's really, it's huge. That'd just be the only way to describe it. It's just a huge issue. And maybe there's somebody here who would say, you know, it's going to take a miracle for me to overcome my issue. Well, God, then you do a miracle. If it takes a miracle, then you do a miracle. Help us to learn what these verses say and mean and apply them to our lives, I pray, in the name of Jesus.